It's Ruminations Tuesday on this November the 20th in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, your host, but with me, my co-host, the Reverend Dr. Mark Smith. Hi.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Boy, it's a beautiful day out there, isn't it? Don't we have some beautiful weather?
Oh, yes.
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was kind of hard to get through the snow, but outside of that...
What snow?
Oh, there's no snow out there?
No, there's no snow.
This is November. It's supposed to be snowing.
Not necessarily.
Well, that is
maybe
for
in Canada.
Sure. In fact, did you hear I gave the weather, and even on Thanksgiving Day, it's going to be a high near 67.
Oh, I know. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we haven't turned our furnace on yet this year.
Really?
Yeah, for this fall and such. No, we just...
Oh, I could say something, but I won't.
Yep. We like to give a lot of money to church, so we don't use it on gas. You turned your furnace on? Okay. Taking care of that. I got a couple of housekeeping duties. If you would like to hear me more than just this half hour, I'm going to be on Issues, Etc., doing the Bible study about Jonathan loving David. And we're going to be, that's at 4:15 on KFUO. And, of course, we'll be answering the question everyone's asking. Is this the first instance of homosexuality in the Bible?
Oh, come on. People really asking about that?
Oh, you can't believe. In fact, that's one of the questions that they told me that I better be ready for. Plenty do, especially in this day and age. Then, tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be at Zion Lutheran Church in Harvester, which is near St. Charles, at 7 p.m. I'm meeting with a group there, and the topic we're going to talk about is how to read the Bible for the theologically untrained. That's the title of my topic for an hour, and they have asked me to invite the general public. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock, Zion Harvester. I speak from 7 to 8, and then we have a little something to eat from 8 to 8:15.
And that'll be it.
Well, no, they continue with a meeting, voting as to whether even to pay me or not. You know?
As soon as the food arrives, that's it, huh?
Yeah. If I was saying, why don't you have the food first, and then we can cut out most of the Bible study. So, and then the final item is this Sunday, I'll be at Trinity Lutheran in Hoyleton, Illinois.
Oh, Hoyleton. That's where Pete Kurowski used to preach,
that
right?
Was my co-pastor, and he was there for quite some time. 8:30 Bible class and 9:30 worship. And so I'm kind of looking forward to going there this Sunday.
There's a St. Louis Cardinal that came from there. What was his name?
I don't know.
I'm from that congregation.
I'm not into football that much. Okay. Now, there are special services this week. So before we forget, when's your Thanksgiving service?
9:30 a.m. Thanksgiving Day, 9:30.
Really?
Yes.
Thanksgiving Day?
Service of Holy Communion.
Wow. So, and the address?
8646 New Sappington Road. We're just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection.
In Crestwood.
Right.
Okay. You know what you're going to preach on yet?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, so... Oh, you want to tell me?
No.
No, no, no.
No, you didn't ask, so... No, the time has passed.
Time is past. So... so you can see us, hear us on Issues, Etc., see us at Zion Harvester, see us at Prince of Peace, or see us at Trinity Lutheran Hoyleton.
I think they just soon listen to us on the radio, Tom.
That's correct. Okay. Well, you'll be surprised. On Sunday, there were people who actually traveled some distance.
Really?
Yeah, to hear me. One went over a quarter mile to the church. Okay, going on here. First question, can you clarify the difference between contradictions and paradoxes?
Contradiction and paradox.
Yes.
A paradox, boy, that's an interesting question.
You know, Peter.
Contradiction is completely, it's easy to see that they're at odds. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's just no way they can, they're just. Pulls apart, whereas a paradox, I'd say a paradox is it has a puzzle to it. It's
it can be understood if you have all the information.
Right.
I'll give you an example, and I start off seminars or sermons like this way. I say, first of all, to the people in the pew, you are so far ahead of how the world thinks. You believe things that are absolutely ridiculous, and yet take no thought about it. And then my first one is Jesus God or man? Answer?
He's both.
Yes. See, that's a paradox.
Yeah, you're a paradox.
And then I say, is God one or three persons?
He's three persons.
And one.
And one God.
Yeah, he's both. Are you 100% sinner or 100% saint? Answer?
100%.
Yes. Yeah. You see, those appear to sound like contradictions. Let's just take the one, Jesus, God, or man. And in fact, that's what the sermon is going to be about. Issues is going to be talking about that. That Jesus doesn't appear to be God because God's omniscient and Jesus doesn't know when the judgment day is in this Sunday's text.
Right.
So, but we're going
to
explain
he's
that. We don't want to talk about
his,
it. We don't want to talk about it right now.
Okay. All right. Take anything away from issues, etc. Won't touch it.
So that's a contradiction to the world. In fact, most of us don't think paradoxically because that's the way God thinks. And so it's really easy to confuse even Lutherans. Last week I started the sermon asking, is anyone here righteous enough to go to heaven? And nobody put their hand up.
I'd imagine when you ask questions like that, nobody ever puts their hand up.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah.
The ones that haven't seen you before.
No. In fact, if anybody does put their hand up and get the right answer, I look at them and they say, oh, so you listen to my radio program with Mark Smith. That's the only way they ever get the right answer, because the old man is the first one to think. And he always thinks wrong.
You mean the old Adam, the old sinful nature.
Yes, exactly.
Not just the old man.
Well, what's the difference?
I'm in a crazy mood today.
Go ahead. Somebody of age.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You don't want to insult the old people here.
No, okay. So the old Adam in us, instead of the old man, boy. But you see, women have an old man. Right?
The old sinful nature.
Yeah, it sounds like a contradiction.
We've heard of old Adam. Do we talk about old Eve, too?
No, we really don't. Why? Because who does the old Adam refer to?
Our old sinful nature. Original sin.
Right. But who's the old Adam in us? If Jesus is the new man, the old Adam is Satan.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
So we have this struggle.
Yeah, he's certainly behind him.
Yeah, exactly. None of your answers were wrong. I was just trying to get to a point where Jesus and Satan are always in a struggle within us. So that's paradox. And I think we've touched that pretty good.
Let's think of some other paradoxes in the scripture.
Well, I just gave you three of them.
Well, let's think of some more. What are some other ones? I think it's kind of interesting.
Okay. Now, you pretend you're a lay person, not a pastor.
Okay.
And so I ask this question, when will you finally begin eternal life? And what will a lay person say?
Oh, when I die.
Exactly. Yeah. And now, what is the answer?
When we're baptized.
Very good. Yes. You see, they just don't understand. They're living eternal life right now.
Right.
You see, what they emphasize, the old Adam wants them to emphasize the word eternal, and they don't think they are eternal right now because they think they're going to physically die. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus clears that up really well in John chapter 11 when we're dealing with Lazarus.
He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Yeah, exactly. And then he says,
Do you believe this?
Though he may die, he shall live. So that sounds like a contradiction, because it sounds like he's saying two different things. But what he's talking about, the die where you're going to live is a physical death. The die that will never happen is eternal hell.
Right.
So that's another good example of a contradiction, where Jesus seems to contradict himself right there. He says, if you believe in me, you will never die. And when you do die, you will live. So it doesn't seem to make any sense. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and
the life.
Yes. And so as soon as you have a relationship with Jesus, you are right now in eternal life. And so that begins. I've got about 60 questions which confuse the laity all the time. You know, I just have a lot of fun because I'm trying to make the point to them, they need to come to church every week because they're really not that knowledgeable about God at all. You know, they really aren't. But pastors aren't either.
Yeah, you there's know, a lot of pastors you find to be ignorant, too.
What do you mean, a lot of pastors? I'm including myself and probably you. on a scale of 1 to 10 compared to what Jesus knows, would we be at a 2 or 3 yet?
We'd be confounded.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. In fact, the more you read the Bible, I used to say, the less you know about
it. That's right.
Because, I didn't know that.
The more mature you come in the faith, the more you realize how much you depend upon Him.
Yes, and how much everything is mystery.
Yeah. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
In fact, if you're going to do percentages between God revealed and God hidden, what would be the difference? God revealed would be what percent?
Oh, well, John tells us if the whole world could not hold all the volumes and books that could be written about Him.
I would say 5%. We know about 5% about God.
You think 5%? I don't even know if we know that much.
I said 0.5 of 1%.
Okay.
But we don't know 99%. We call that the hidden God.
Right.
And it is that hidden God part that where people always have problems. You know, what's going to happen to babies who aren't baptized?
Yeah,
well, that's the hidden God. What happens to those who've never heard the message of Jesus Christ? That's the hidden God.
Why are some people saved, not others?
Yeah, that's a really good one. In fact, in my opinion, that question, that is the crux theologorum, which means the center of all theology. It's the cross of all theology. If you could answer that one, a lot of other things would fall into place.
Yeah.
Now, Lutherans don't answer it. Baptists do.
They try.
With their decision theology.
Yeah.
Five-point Calvinists do. They just say that, God makes the decision who goes to hell, and He makes the decision who goes to heaven. It's called double...
Sovereignty of God. Yeah, double predestination.
Right. And even in Roman Catholicism, you've got this idea of the sacraments really don't impart salvation. They impart the possibility of salvation if you work with them. In other words, the more penance you do, the less time in purgatory, things like that. So Lutherans are the only ones that really don't answer the question, as far as I'm aware of. And it's an unanswerable question. I've always said Lutheranism is easy to get through because we have the least amount of information to share. Really. You've got the small catechism.
Yeah.
And once you have that down, and that's what, 12 pages, you can be confirmed. Because anything you learn from there on will never contradict anything you learned in the catechism and will just enlarge your understanding, that kind of a thing. So that's our first item. Second item I want to talk about, I'm connecting two things here. One was a 60-minute piece that occurred last Sunday.
What was it about?
About... the evolution of babies. Did you see
the evolution of babies?
Yes. That they had done tests on babies. And their whole point was that they're a lot smarter than we think they are, human babies.
Huh.
You know, that was the first point he was making. But, of course, the whole thing was steeped in evolution. So they were totally messed up. And let me share how. They did, and then you try and explain to us, I'll tell you what they said from an evolution point of view. From an evolution point of view, they would have a game, and there were certain, like, checkers or something, or little pieces that a child could take.
Uh-huh.
But they were separated by what they could take and then what else somebody else needed. And so when they asked the little children, as they were growing up, like 2-3 years old, they would always take from the people who needed it also. They would not only take their share, but also everybody else. When the children got to about 8 or 9 or 10 years old, and they had video of this, what happened is they did not take from what was somebody else's.
They had learned manners.
And they had, in fact, one or two of them also gave some of their own mm-hmm. to those who needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were making the point that originally evolution is survival of the fittest, but as you learn manners and such, then you become less selfish. That was their whole point.
That was the point, huh? Hmm.
So in evolution, the more you have a proper upbringing and this kind of thing, you can learn to be unselfish. Now, what did they miss? Can you figure that out?
They missed coveting, for one thing.
What?
Just because they didn't take didn't mean they didn't want.
That's very good. I hadn't even thought of that. That's one point. Well, what they... I should explain the video a little bit more. These were adults who were asking them how much they wanted to take.
Uh-huh.
Now, by the time you get to that age, for example, we would always, when we were kids, fool around in the cafeteria. But if adults were around, we were on our...
On your best behavior.
Very good. It was so obvious to me that when the adult said something, they want to impress the adult.
Well, sure.
So even though it appears they were doing something unselfishly, it was totally selfish because they wanted to have a good report with the adult.
Right.
And what they should have done is done an experiment where the children didn't think anybody was watching them at all.
A two-way mirror.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever way they could do that. And I guarantee you that what you said was envy or, you know, it would come out.
That's providing they really wanted those pieces or not.
Well, it was, exactly what it was.
Were they like Reese Cups or what?
Food or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
And, but, see, there's where evolution goes wrong. They don't understand the depth of sin, original sin,
mm-hmm.
that it is... Here's a statement, and this is radical, and it's going to sound paradoxical, or actually contradictory. No unbeliever ever does a work outside of selfishness.
Yeah, I would say they're always tainted. They're always tainted by that.
It's always selfishness uh-huh. that works it.
Yeah.
Only Christians have the proper motivation, and that's only partial.
I was thinking you meant even believers. Even believers are tainted.
No, I'm talking about unbelievers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
An unbeliever can never, ever do a unselfish good work.
Right, right. I agree.
Yeah.
That's why without faith, it is impossible to please God.
That's what it says. And faith means trusting in Jesus. For example, we're going to be talking about this with, I'll say just a little bit, David and Jonathan. We love because he...
Because he first loved us.
Yes.
Jesus.
That's really for believers. So when the world looks at people and they look at these children who appear to be unselfish, they're just not realizing the depth of original sin. That it's like giving an apple to the teacher. Now, I don't know what teacher would ever take it and say, oh, that was really nice of you, without realizing what the motivation is, you know, to get a better grade or whatever. But so many times, and you said it, even Christians have that selfish motivation.
Oh,
the old Adam can never do it properly. Never do it properly. What brought this up was, I don't know if you saw this in the paper, Sheena Hardin was in Cleveland, and she was driving home, and there was a school bus in front of her. And you know how they keep stopping? In fact, when I see a school bus a mile ahead, I turn right immediately, because I know. You know what she did to avoid the school bus?
What?
She drove on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah, I heard something about this. Drove on the sidewalk to avoid the school bus. Yeah, ridiculous.
Now, guess what the judge did? He made her put a sign up, and here's what the sign says. Only an idiot would drive on the sidewalk to avoid a school bus. And she had to do that for 2 days, putting that up. That was her punishment. But the gentleman who wrote about this, Reverend Keating, Her punishment included a scolding from the judge, who ordered her to stand on a street corner and wear a sign that said only an idiot would drive on a sidewalk to avoid a school bus. Such punishment may or may not have been effective or wise. What is astonishing, however, is that the woman never said she was sorry. To me, that sounds like selfish entitlement. Focus on what she wanted. Ignoring common sense public safety, she dodged the bus and put herself first, not just once, but repeatedly. That is a perfect example, in my opinion, of how unbelievers operate all the time. You see, rather than go around the school bus and maybe run over some children, she goes on the sidewalk instead. And she probably thinks that's a good thing, because maybe she's in a hurry. I mean, it's rare that anybody does a sin without a good motivation in their mind, or else you would never sin. Like, who's the general that just got caught with a woman? Petraeus. Can you imagine that?
Oh, I'll tell you. I'm mystified by these guys. You know
it's
what I mean?
Just, I mean.
I know. I don't know. What are they thinking?
No, it's.
You got two,
No. The devil is really strong.
Oh, absolutely.
And I am sure when he did that affair, he thought that was okay. Or else he would never have done it. It was only afterwards.
He could justify it.
Yes.
You know, I'm under a lot of stress because of my position and. You know,
and
if nobody knows, if you don't get caught, nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Playboy philosophy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the kind of society we're living in today, where people expect entitlements because of their position and such. Now, I'm not saying Christians are any better. I don't know if Petraeus is a Christian or not. But even if he were, there's plenty of Christians who fall into all kinds of sins.
Oh, sure.
You know, pastors too. Pastors too.
Yes, of course. We hear about that from time to time. These guys that
more than time to time.
Oh yeah,
I just heard of a pastor who divorced.
There, but by the grace of God, go you and I, Tom.
Yeah, I heard of a pastor who divorced his wife so he could be a missionary overseas.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and he thought that was a higher calling than staying married. You know, it just. Well, look at the Roman Church still hasn't changed its man-made law about priests not being married. No wonder they run into so many problems, because Paul makes the point that there's only a few who have that gift of not being married and such. And so, but of course, when you think works is the way of getting to heaven, spending all your time with the church and not with a wife is considered to be a higher work, when in reality, it's not at all,
no,
from God's point of view. In fact, I did a segment not too long ago, how good works we do are oftentimes sin, because we're actually going against the commandment of God, but we don't think we are. Like, would it be better to spend all your time in worship in a monastery or doing farm work? And the answer is, it's a sin to go to a monastery. It's a sin, because God says, not go you therefore and seclude yourself and don't say anything to anybody. I had nuns down on Clayton Road that I would go to when I worked for Raven's Furs, because he would have the furs embroidered with names, and they would do it. But the nuns who did it had taken a vow of 6 years of silence. And it was really odd. I'd walk in, and those who had taken the vow were behind a glass.
Yes.
So that their family could come and visit. But they weren't allowed to talk for 6 years.
Goodness sake. Yeah.
I mean, where does that come in the Bible? You know, go ye therefore and be silent for 6 years. Because, you see, they think talking can lead to sin. And it can. So let's just stop talking. Oh, well, why don't they think about that about food? Let's not eat for 6 years, because that can lead to gluttony. It's just ridiculous. So, well, we're out of time. So repeat once more when your Thanksgiving service is.
9:30, Thursday.
Thursday
Thanksgiving
morning.
Thanksgiving Day, 9:30 a.m. Right.
And then on, are you going to have your Saturday service this week?
Oh, yes. Oh. Saturday at regular time, 5 p.m., Saturday evening service. And the Sunday service, of course, at 9 a.m. 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
For Sunday service.
Yeah, and Bible study at?
Bible study following at 10:30.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. That's Pastor Mark Smith, and your church is Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace out in Crestwood, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection.
If they ever want to get a hold of you and ask you questions, what's the phone number they use?
Phone number is area code 314-843-8448.
And if you listen for about 2:30, 3:30, an hour and 45 minutes, I'll be on Issues Etc. as we talk about David and Jonathan. And then tonight, I'm at Zion Harvester at 7 o'clock, and the public is invited to that as we talk about how to read the Bible for the theologically untrained. And this Sunday, I will be at Trinity in Hoyleton, Bible study at 8:30, worship at 9:30. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Pastor Smith.
You too, Tom.
God bless. Till tomorrow, Wednesday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.
This is Alan Erdman with the Lutheran